This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Think you could call it the double D, couldn't you?
I think you could.
On Wednesday?
I think we have a new pre-show ritual here going on.
You're right.
Yeah.
So welcome to Wednesdays with Denise and Brent, of course, taking the day off. And yeah, it's okay. Hump days without Brent is fine.
That's fine. I'm fine. I mean, I get to be here and chat with you and chat with everybody. So
right.
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
It's all good. So we wanted to start off the show with some good stuff that's going on around the Marion County.
And there's
Polk
lots
area.
Of it.
Yeah, of course. And one of them is Salem Harvest.
Oh, great organization.
And Executive Director Elise Bauman is joining us now. Hello, Elise.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Denise. How are you today?
Hi, Elise. We're great. How are you?
Doing wonderful. I'm off in sunny Albany, Oregon with the Hazelnut Growers Convention today. So out meeting hazelnut growers. So it's an awesome day.
Yeah. So what is Salem Harvest all about, and why are you at the...
Why are you at the hazelnut farm?
Yeah, why are you there?
Why hazelnuts? Salem Harvest is a nonprofit organization that harvests food on farms and backyards in Marion Polk County. Mm-hmm. That's going to go to waste. So it's just food that the growers or somebody doesn't have a use for, and they don't have an opportunity to get it out of the field, or it's not enough to actually harvest. We come in with volunteers, and we have about 2,500 volunteers in the greater Marion Polk County area.
Wow.
We come in and we harvest that food and get it into the hands of hungry folks in our community. So hazelnuts is a great example, and why I'm here with the Hazelnut Convention is because 2 and 3 year old trees produce nuts, but not so many hazelnuts that it's worth the grower's time to go out there and commercially harvest. So
interesting.
I bring out volunteers and we go and hand pick up.
Oh my gosh!
Hundreds of thousands of nuts, and last year we harvested 3,250 pounds of hazelnuts.
So at least typically, how long does that take you and your volunteers to do?
Let's see. Last year I think we had 5 different harvests.
Mm-hmm.
And each harvest lasts for 2 hours, you know, because after 2 hours, harvesting is no longer fun. So all of our harvests last for 2 hours. And each time I probably had 30 or 35 harvesters out there. And so, you know, you can do the math on that and figure that out. But yeah, no, it's just a fun time. It's just a fun time. And you're saving fruit from going to waste. And, you know, and the volunteers, when they come out, you can take a portion, up to half of a home that you harvest. And then the other half or more, generally more than half, goes to Marion Polk Food Share and or Oregon Food Bank for a wider distribution in our community.
So that sounds like a win-win-win-win all the way around for everybody involved.
It's a win-win. Yeah, you can just keep saying win some, because that's exactly what it is. It keeps going and going. And we recruit low-income families, families with lots of children, underemployed, unemployed, homeless, elderly folks to come out and do the harvesting, because we find those groups are the families and the folks who need the food. So it goes directly from farm to family, and the donation portion of it goes to a wider distribution in our community as well.
So somebody listening to this who's intrigued by it and loves the idea, how would they get involved if they wanted to volunteer and maybe go to a hazelnut farm with you and do some harvesting?
For sure. If you want to join us in harvesting and volunteer, just jump on our website at salemharvest.org. And at the top, you'll find a button that says volunteer. Click on that button, fill out the registration form. And then once you've become a registered volunteer, then you just watch our harvest page, and like if you were to go look at it right now, we have about 5 blueberry harvests up through the end of the week. Just jump on a harvest that you see intriguing or something you want to go do, and just click the button, say, I want to volunteer for that, and you can get on the roster and come on out.
So you're talking all kinds of fruits, vegetables, and such,
fruits,
right?
Anything that we grow in the valley, we harvest. So I don't know if you guys know what kiwi berries are.
Yeah.
We harvest those kiwi berries. They're little miniature kiwis, but there's no hair on them. Persimmon sometimes.
Oh.
But mostly, you know, that we harvest about 20 different variety of things throughout the entire summer from end of May through middle of December.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Broccoli, cauliflower, apples, summer squash, winter squash, butternut squash, tomatoes, garlic, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
Blueberries and hazelnuts are huge for us. So
Elise, how long has Salem Harvest been in the community?
Salem Harvest started as a backyard project in 2010 when a group of neighbors just saw each other's trees dropping so much fruit that it was attracting, you know, flies and different things. Mm-hmm. And so rather than have it just fall on the ground, they said, why don't we just gather as a neighborhood and harvest this food and then share it amongst ourselves? And they quickly learned that that was way more than they can share, so they started taking it to Union Gospel Mission, and they realized that that was a real need in our community, is healthy, fresh produce for people who can't really afford it. Shortly after that, a grower in the valley jumped on the opportunity and saw something on Facebook and said, hey, there's so much more happening on the farm, thousands and thousands of pounds. Well, let's make that happen. And so the farm portion of that started up. And now we average over 400,000 pounds of fresh produce rescued every year.
Dang, that's impressive.
That really is.
That can feed a few folks, don't you?
Just a few.
That can definitely feed a few folks. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we finished up a very fine broccoli harvest where we saved over 30,000 pounds of broccoli that went out to the north half of Oregon and the south half of Washington. So, yeah, covered quite a bit of people with broccoli.
Wow. And then they could always freeze it too, right? And then boil it later. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. They can process it and for their home use and use it later for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for all the hard work that you do. Again, it's
you bet.
SalemHarvest.org, right?
SalemHarvest.org. Okay. And then if you're not really into harvesting, that's not your deal, mm-hmm. coming out for 2 hours in the hot sun, mm-hmm. and more like wine tasting or eating is more your deal.
Oh, I like that. That's kind of my deal.
Yeah. Then we have an event coming up on September 8th, Sunday, September 8th. It's a garden party, and it's our fifth annual garden party. And $50 tickets, you get to eat food from Lustique, and drink wine from La Chouette Vineyard and just enjoy the evening with jazz music, and only $50 a ticket, and you can get that at salemharvest-gp.eventbrite.com, and there's also a link on our website for that as well.
And that's a fundraiser for you guys?
That is a fundraiser. We have two fundraisers every year, and this is our fall fundraiser and our very exclusive, you know, it's a small vineyard, so it's a kind of an exclusive kind of thing that happens, so it's a fun time. It's a fun time.
Awesome.
Nice.
Well, we'll let you get back to your meetings there. That sounds
hazelnut
so
harvesting.
Much fun.
No, we're talking filbert worms. How do we keep filbert worms out of the hazelnuts? How can we manage that to happen? And organically as well.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Elise Baumann, she's the executive director of Salem Harvest. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elise.
Thanks for having me on. It
you
was
bet.
A good time.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right. Bye.
All right.
I love that. Love, love, love that.
Good stuff happening here in the valley.
Yes.
All right. SalemHarvest.org. All right. Wednesdays with Denise continues in just a moment. We have a guest standing by. We're going to learn all about filmmaking.
Filmmaking in the valley.
I'm intrigued already. This is Newsmakers. I'm 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back to Wednesdays with Denise. And Dave Bourne, that's me.
Yeah, Dave Bourne.
Welcome back to the studio. And joining us is a very special guest who's very adventurous with films and owns two companies here in Salem, Rick Lord. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
And so what there's that voice.
Yeah, right? So you put me to shame. What two companies do you own here in Salem?
We have Matchlight Films. I say we are an LLC, so there are board members and there are others involved with it. But Matchlight Films is one. The other one is Mid Willamette Voice Artists. So we produce voiceover and create voice talent. What do you call them? Demo reels. Demo reels for individuals that are looking to get into the business.
Because it's a growing business.
It really is.
And you and I have been connected for a long time. I have an IMDb page because of you. Thank you very much.
What?
Yes. I geeked out when I saw that.
A famous person.
Oh, super famous. But I did. I have an IMDb page.
I don't have one of those.
You need to get connected with Rick.
No kidding.
One of the reasons we wanted to have you on today is to talk about filmmaking, voiceover, you know, media production in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Because whenever anybody thinks of that, they think of Portland. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of being the stepsister or the little person over here who nobody pays attention to, because number one, there's a lot of talent in Portland, in Salem. Oh, there I go. I just did it myself.
I know, right?
Wow. And also, I mean, just the Mid-Willamette Valley and Salem in general for filming locations is amazing.
It really is. We've done a few projects down here in the Mid-Willamette Valley, and really the backdrop here is unlike anything else that you'd ever see, but it can also play as anywhere USA, and that's one of the things we love about Salem and the surrounding area. It's a real gorgeous place to shoot. You got to fight the rain, but that's part of the...
You do?
Isn't having wet streets better, though, because it's for better contrast?
It really is, yes. It has a nice look to it.
See, Salem in this area is perfect for that.
That was the question I was going to ask you. Why do they wet the road on a beautiful sunny day, and you see it in almost a lot of shots on TV? Why is the roads wet?
Aesthetics. What it does is it creates a sheen on the street. Yeah. It creates a reflection.
But it's not natural.
Well, I know, but the eye does. It's kind of like blue light for moon. I don't like it, but a lot of filmmakers way back when would use blue light to show the moon at night. And even though the moon is not blue.
No, it's not.
We don't have blue light, but that's why. It's just for aesthetics.
Huh. Yeah, because it creates a contrast and it gives something for the light to do, and it sort of doesn't it sort of broaden the scope of the shot? It is more interesting.
Yeah, but when you're doing a movie that's in the desert...
Well, I don't think they wet the desert.
I've seen the wet roads in a desert town.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Wow. I'm like, it's the desert. It doesn't rain like that.
Yeah, that's. I think it's all the call of the director, and of course the overall look of the film and what it is they're trying to achieve.
So, speaking of directors, so we want to talk a little bit about talent and things like that in a minute. But as far as and a place being a draw for directors, for film production, for studios, for independent filmmakers to want to come. What do you think as far as the Mid-Willamette Valley and Salem, what could we do to make ourselves more attractive?
It's kind of a loaded question in a way. There is quite a bit that we can do. I know that we have this sheet here that shows what the cost for permitting in the city of Salem. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because you can go to New York and actually a permit is free.
But do you think that's because there's such a large volume of projects that are done in New York?
Well, certainly. An independent film obviously is not going to bring in the money that, say, Leonardo DiCaprio would if he was, to shoot there.
Sure.
Now, if we brought him here, obviously we'd have a larger budget picture, and would they pay the $140 a day for the permit? I don't know. It depends on the company and how, what they're looking for as far as an overall look. For those of us that are homegrown, mm-hmm. and I say a homegrown tongue-in-cheek, I'm from L.A., but came up to Portland back in 77, got into the film industry about 83, and kind of knocked around there a little bit. I actually started out as voiceover talent.
And that's interesting.
Yeah, that's how I got started. That's how I got my SAG card, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact. And so that that's what led me into the business, but I found myself really interested in the aspects of more of the production end of things. I really love actually being behind the camera and
versus in front of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know you've done you've done quite a few productions around here. You've utilized local talent. You've also done acting classes. You're doing voiceover. Yes. So probably listeners are familiar with you and familiar with your work. Many of them are.
I would think so. Yeah. Matchlight Films has been around since 2010, and we've had an onslaught of people that come through acting classes, and we're now getting involved with production classes. I'm building a production truck, as a matter of fact, and we should have up and running within the next month and stuff. So we're really growing exponentially as far as doing film production here in as homegrown films. So working on one right now called Torino Alley that we would like to shoot here in Salem. Don't know whether that's going to be feasible. We do have an invitation for another town to shoot in that's right nearby, and with no permits, no permit costs, and stuff. So we're looking at that and stuff. And when you think about independent films have become more and more acceptable, I guess. If you take a look at Netflix, as a matter of fact, a lot of the films you see on there are independent.
Yeah.
I watched a great episodic here not too long ago called The Fall that was done in Belfast. And when you look at what it was shot on and the actors, they're all a bunch of no-name actors. The production company is based out of Belfast, Ireland, but it was just a great series to watch. It was exciting. It was fun. And you think, well, this is independent film, and that's exactly what this is. And we have that capability here. We just need to let people know that, you know, in order for us to use you, you have to be trained up. Mm-hmm. You have to know something about this industry.
Where are you finding, in general, let's say in the local area, talent is coming from? Is it coming from colleges, high schools? Where are you finding people that are wanting to act for you?
It's kind of funny. I'm finding more of the middle-aged people are the ones that are more apt to get involved with this. And I think the reason is the kids are grown, or at least grown enough to where they're in school and it allows mom and dad to get away and be a part of the program. The younger people, they're trying to maintain a job and, you know, pay the rent and so on and so forth. So it makes it a little bit more difficult for them to break away for a period of time to get involved with the production.
The old adage of, you know, don't quit your day job or always have a backup plan, because it's actually hard to earn a living in the arts.
It really is. You've got to really love it. It's got to be a passion that is much like, I don't know, I compare it to like owning a race car. You know, you're going to throw a lot.
Dave is laughing because he can relate to that. He's a car guy.
You could throw a lot of money in this, I'll tell you that. And, you know,
yeah,
and get really very little out of it. But I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. And I've been doing it for 35, 36 years, I think. And I don't look back at it with any kind of regret whatsoever.
That's because it's a passion you love.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love radio and been doing it all my life.
You betcha.
The radio is another, too. The radio, it in a smaller market, everyone thinks, so I need to go to New York, I need to go to LA, maybe Texas, wherever some of the bigger markets are. Same thing with filmmaking. I mean, if you're going to make it big, I'm going to make it big. I want to be on, you know, the stage at Carnegie Hall or whatever. You've got to go to the big markets. Are you finding that that is a trend that's reversing, or is it still LA, New York, the big markets?
I think it always will be the big markets. However, the smaller markets like Salem and surrounding towns and even in other states, all of a sudden, talent agencies are popping up. Well, one of the things that we need down here, I had a meeting, as a matter of fact, with Jason Lewis at Lewis Media Group, and we're talking about that very thing, that we do not have a talent agency down here in the Mid-Willamette Valley. We need that desperately because we have a lot of talented people. It's how do we get to them? You know, we do train them up to either act in front of the camera, act behind the microphone, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But how do we get a hold of them? How do we get them as a group in one area that we could draw from?
We're also having a lot of people that are coming home or rediscovering or discovering Salem as a market to live because it's cheaper, it's less expensive, it's less of a hectic lifestyle. And so you may have people that were gravitating to the Portland market for that reason coming down here and not wanting to lose that and not wanting to get out of that.
Correct.
So having something to offer down here would benefit them as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is still the hobbyist side of this as well. And that is, you know, that we all have our, you know, somebody is out there playing golf right now because they love to play golf. And so it is the hobbyist that gets involved with this as well and says, okay, well, it's not a full-time profession. It's nothing I'm going to quit the day job for, but I certainly would like to get my feet wet in this thing. That's where I come in.
Right.
That's where I come in. I'm going to teach you how to do that.
The weekend actor.
Right, instead of the weekend warrior, the weekend actor.
Exactly. So many times that's the case.
Nice. All right. We're talking with Rick Lord of Matchlight Films.
Yes.
And what other company again?
Mid-Valley Voice Artists.
And that is to create a pool of voiceover talent that is, this is the strangest thing. I actually had a lady contact me, and she had mentioned ASM or ASR.
Oh.
And these are voices that are used, like when you make a phone call, it says, for service, dial 1.
Right.
For sales, dial 2. That's ASR's type stuff. They pay big dollars for that. That is stuff that could be done right here in our own hometown.
Absolutely.
And it's available.
I've done those before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more with Rick Lord and Denise Quinn on Wednesdays with Denise on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back to Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and myself, Dave Bourne. And with us in the studio is Rick Lord, Matchlight Films and Mid-Valley Voiceovers, right?
Hello, yes.
That is correct.
Hey, I remember this time.
So it was funny because we were talking during the break about all of us have experience with voiceover, and some of us with film and some with acting. I mean, Rick, obviously you're
both
kind of the top of the heap on that one because you have years and years of it. But I know, Dave, you were talking, you do voiceovers. I do voiceovers. In fact, we just heard one of mine in the break.
So, right, exactly.
Yeah. So how did you get in the business?
I've been working radio, over 35 years now.
Yeah.
And I was doing some production. And a sales guy came up with an idea. He had a client who sold radio spots to stations all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And was having a hard time because most of the stations didn't have talent to voice them.
Uh-huh.
So he offered me a certain amount of money for each spot that I produced,
mm-hmm.
and we've been working together since.
Yeah.
And now I'm voicing commercials for over 20 markets around the country.
So my aunt in Virginia could be hearing Dave Bourne versing a product.
And you wouldn't know it.
Wouldn't know it. That's interesting. It's all over. I've done some. I've been all over the country. I've got some that are playing in Arkansas right now, and you know, a couple of different ones. And so it's funny we talk about the technology because you have a computer. I mean, you don't necessarily want to use a USB mic. I guess you can. I know a lot of professional voiceover artists, they don't.
I do, though.
Yeah, but with, you know, a little bit of equipment and some knowledge and working in some editing software, it's kind of opened up the market for a lot of people who maybe thought they never could do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And only that, but you can actually MP3 it to a client or to another production agency. They can engineer it and you're off and running, and it's all done from the, you know, comfort of your own home.
Exactly. In your pajamas.
In my case, boxers.
But, no, there you go.
TMI, Rick Lord.
Hey,
TMI.
There's a visual there.
So somebody listening to this who's thought, you know, I have a good voice or I've got an aptitude, because first of all, voicing ads sometimes 30-second radio spots is different than, there's so many, you can do webinars, there's, like you were talking about, the on-hold voices, the voice of Siri, the voice of Alexa, there's you don't really think about it, but we're surrounded by voiceover everywhere we go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's a need, there's a niche market for certain people, and I've listened to, I tend to be kind of a geek about this stuff, and I'll watch YouTube videos from people that have been in the business for a long time. Breaking into it seems to be the hardest thing. And establishing that, especially if you are not in one of those major markets.
They do have now what's known as Voice Hub. And they do say you need to have an agent to get into the voice, you know, get onto the Voice Hub and stuff. That's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
There is a backdoor method to get into it. And that is one way, you know, for you to get heard, if you will. The interesting thing is you brought up a point, you know, if you think you have a great voice, actually that is not true. Almost any voice is considered a great voice.
Oh, okay.
I knew of a guy who did not have vocal cords. He had lost his larynx and vocal cords due to cancer. And he did a lot of voice work using electronic voice.
Wow.
Yeah. So everything sounded like, well, I'd like to have you come on down and be at a, you know, car dealership this afternoon, you know, but
that's a distinctive voice.
He got work.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the other things you hear too is, you know, the sort of the old radio announcer voice is kind of, it's dead as a doornail. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. They want to hear the conversational, the kind of the girl or guy next door. Do you see that?
Yeah, the announcer voice is gone.
Yeah.
You know.
The mid-Atlantic, the very clipped that you used to hear on newsreels, right. Lowell Thomas newsreels.
Yeah, those are gone now, and everybody wants to hear real voices, real people being in real places as a real voice. For one thing, it's more believable.
Yeah.
You know, you don't sound so polished, well, even though you are.
I think so many people are striving for authenticity these days in just about everything. So I can see why that would be a trend.
Absolutely. Mm. When we talk about getting started, I started from a dump truck.
There's a story there, I know.
I work for the city of Portland, and back in about 83 or 84, I was sitting in the dump truck and I had radio on, and there was a guy that was advertising to get your demo reel done with him. It was like $1,100. It was an extraordinary amount of money. Mm. And so I thought, this sounds interesting. So I called and I got in on the class, took the classes, and got a voiceover demo. Back in them days, all your demos were done on cassette tape. So you had to order like 100 cassette tapes. And of course, I had my picture on there and my name, Rick Lord. And you went around and passed them out to advertising agencies and,
oh, wow.
You know, and so on and so forth. It was really kind of crazy back then. And there are very few talent agencies, but I did get a hold of a talent agency that she took me on. And within 3 days, I'd picked up the gig for Rada Paint. So I did taglines for Rada Paint, 20% off blinds this weekend, that kind of stuff, yeah. You know, and I did that for 13 or 14 months. And that got me into the union, which was AFTRA, which is American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. So I was getting $535 a month every month for the 13, 14 months. Of course, I went out and bought a boat. And at the end of the gig, I still had to make the payments on the boat. And anyways.
Because you weren't the voice of Rod Paint anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But from there, it led off to Western Tool Supply and Ford and Chevrolet and so on and so forth.
Interesting. Yeah. So you're speaking now to sort of bring this back down to the local level. You've got radio stations here. We've got companies here. We've got, you know, all kinds of businesses that where a voiceover artist may be able to do some work for these people. How do you break into that market locally? I mean, I think companies don't necessarily see the need for this until they see the need for it.
I think the first, you know, we talk about the companies. We're talking about a CEO that really has nothing as far as background in this industry, and he thinks, well, I could do it myself. Mm-hmm. Until they get in front of the microphone, do they really know what it's like to mm-hmm. do it themselves? And they realize after they've peed in their shoes, well, hey, this isn't as easy as it looks. And so they know that they're going to have to go to somebody who is professional, who knows how to do this, and give them what they want. You know, and unfortunately, we have a market here. It's a little small yet, mm-hmm. but it is growing, and the need for more professional voices is definitely going to be on the rise.
Yeah, every business needs that on hold recording.
That absolutely. And what we're finding is even though the brick and mortar may be here in Salem, everybody has a web presence, and so you, especially if you're in retail or you have a widget to sell. Your market is not necessarily just Salem. You want to be able to broaden out and expand that. So there's opportunities with websites now to be a little bit more creative than just maybe a 30-second spot. You can do videos. There's all kinds of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, going back from taking it from a hobbyist to actually making a little bit of money with this thing. And I think that's exactly what happens. You are going to find yourself in a position to where somebody's going to pick you up and, you know, give you a couple of bills for it, for your voice. And you're off and running from that point on. All of a sudden, now that you get paid, like they say with musicians, once you get your first paid gig,
yes.
Now you're professional.
Now you're professional.
Right. Yeah. I know a lot of companies, too, would also need help with webinar videos that mm-hmm. they put on their website. You could help them with that too.
Absolutely. There's a gentleman that I actually met with my agency who lives down here in the Salem area, and all he does is audiobooks. And he does six
oh
figures a year doing audiobooks.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a huge market. The other one is training videos. I recently had to go through a training to get certified to do something. And the training video, I remember laughing at the guy who was in it because he obviously went to how to use your hands in a training video school. Because he had about three moves that he did, tenting his hands, tilting them down. And after a while, you're like, dude, broaden out your repertoire.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, for training people and taking advantage of the opportunities, training videos, clicking through, being able to get certified, there's so much.
Yeah. A lot of training.
Yes, there is. It's like with anything else. Practice, you used to hear practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm. Practice does not make perfect. It just makes better.
Right.
It just makes better. You get more comfortable with it, and it's no longer... you know, you're no longer sweating, you know, and profusely and getting nervous in front of the microphone. You get pretty relaxed with it and say, it's my job. It's a tool, and yeah. I'm using my tool, and now it's time to do the laundry.
Just like in front of a camera, you know, deer in the
Absolutely.
Headlights
yes.
kind of thing. You know.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny to go back and listen to old stuff from when I first started doing it and how you can really see the improvement, too. I was a bit of a shouter when I first started doing this, where I tended to, instead of sort of emphasizing words, I would just be louder. And so I think you get the nuances of that, and you don't have to necessarily be louder to make your point. You can, you know, lean in. There's all kinds of things like that.
But I had to get out of that announcer.
Yeah.
That announcer voice. Well, I do have kind of that announcer voice anyways. And so when I got in front of the microphone, everything was a big announcement. And it, right? it sounded stupid, you know, especially nowadays when we don't do that.
Right.
Everything is very reality feel as far as the sound.
Or you're doing it to be ironic.
Yeah.
You do your announcer voice to be ironic. I was directed on, I did some VO for a startup company in Salem called Fire Tower Productions and had to be directed out of my announcer voice. And so it's like, oh, you're doing it? I'm like, oops, okay. Because, you know, being in radio for so long, that's kind of the gig there.
Sure, it is. Absolutely.
The VO.
The voiceover. The voiceover, the big yeah. VO.
Nice.
I would strongly suggest for anybody that's out there that is interested in doing something like this, give me a call or, I don't know, contact the station or whatever. But this is something that is definitely going to be growing. And we are working hard at growing Salem mm-hmm. in the broadcast, in the production industry as a whole, because we need it down here.
Yeah.
We cannot be drawing talent out of Portland and out of L.A. all the time. It's too expensive. And there's no reason for that. There's a lot of talented people here. They just don't know it yet. They just need to be trained up.
They do. And I think they think they have to go there. And if they can't, like you said, if they're working full time and they can't get away to do, you know, I did an acting gig up there a couple of years ago. I had to take a day off from work to go do it. But it was because right. I love it and I'm passionate about it. I did it. One of the things, I don't know if we have to take a break here real quick, but getting production crews, getting people to Salem, that ties in quite nicely with the ongoing effort in Salem right now to bring commercial airline service back to Salem. How would that be a game changer for Salem?
It's going to be
film?
A huge game changer. I mean, when you think about LA coming up here to do a production, where they do is they go to Portland.
Yeah.
And the reason is because that's where the crews are. That's where the production equipment is. That's where the talent is. So they look at Salem and they say, well, where's the production crews? Where are the trucks? Where are the people? Where's the amenities and the talent that we need to draw from? There is nothing down here that they know of. And we need to bring that to the forefront. And when we do that, now we have the airline service coming into here. That magnifies that. It grows that to where now we have something to work with. The seed is now planted. It's in the ground, and it is now growing. And we do become an entity as a force to be reckoned with in the production industry.
So from an economic development perspective, from the city's perspective and a region, tourism, things like that, just the money that comes in from a production, can you give me an example of, say, something? I worked on Leverage back in the day up in Portland.
Right.
One day of production for Leverage brings in how much money to the city of Portland?
I was under the understanding, and don't take me for
anecdotally,
gospel.
Anecdotally.
Yeah. Well, the thing is when you think about a production on an episodic, an episodic is I think a little bit more in your face than say a simple film. An episodic that comes to town and is shot and uses the backdrop, people fall in love with the episodic. They come here on vacation. They want to see mm-hmm. those places that were on the film, and they know, oh, that was in the film and this is in the episode such and such, and that's what they glean to. So what they're doing is now they're throwing money at the hospitality industry mm-hmm. and purchasing things and whatever, and because they're here, it becomes attractive to them. And I wanted to use the word attractive nuisance, and some may say it is, but it's not.
Well, shutting down a couple of blocks to film a scene might be an attractive nuisance, but it's also going to draw people who are fascinated by it and want to come down, and you're going to be bringing people downtown or wherever it is. I mean, so you have to look at, there's positives and negatives to this.
Yeah, of course there is, you know, but, you know, we're looking at Torino Alley, that something we're going to be filming here shortly, and using some of the city as the backdrop for an episodic. It's going to make Salem, I guess, a place or a location that now has some national feel to it, or a national attraction to. And people want to come here and spend their money. They want to be here. And so that's what we look at is, you know, does it bring money? I heard that the episodics brought $14 million to Portland.
Wow.
I think this was back in 2014. $14 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, don't know any city that would turn their noses up at that.
You would.
Was that a year, 2 years?
How I think it was over a year, over a 1 year span.
That's pretty impressive.
They had several episodics going on at one time. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Especially Grimm.
Yes.
Yeah, Grimm, Leverage. Yeah. I think the Librarians, there's a bunch that are shooting up there.
Oh, yeah. I was watching the Librarians, too.
Yeah.
Kind of lost me later, though.
Did they?
Yeah. But I did watch it for what you were talking about.
Did you watch Leverage, the episode with Luke Perry as the psychic?
I'm not sure.
Ah, Google it. That's my episode.
Okay, I'll check it out. This is Wednesdays with Denise. We'll be back with Rick Lord and Denise and myself, Dave Bourne, on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
In his best announcer voice, this segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
You're good at that.
I try not to do the announcer voice kind of thing, but
it's hard.
It really is.
It's easy to slide into. It's like I'm from the East Coast, but when I'm in Texas, man, I can slide right into that drawl.
Yeah, it just depends on where you're at and what you're doing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Welcome back to Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise.
And we've got Rick Lord here. We're just wrapping up today. We've been talking all things film, media, voiceover. So somebody listening to this who's in, you know, curiosity is piqued. They think, you know, I could do that, or I'd really love to do that. Granted, I know we've kind of talked about how we don't have the market down here for it necessarily right now. But what would you suggest somebody who has a burgeoning interest in this and wants to pursue it? What would your first thing to do be?
Contact me.
Oh.
I don't know how else to put it, but yeah, okay. Contact me, and at least let's get you into a pool, if you will. I cannot be a talent agent, but I can at least collect your name, even a selfie, and see where you're at with this thing. What do you want to do? Some people are interested in this business, but not for the idea of being in front of the camera or behind a microphone, but in fact being in the crew or behind the camera, that kind of a thing, in the production end of things. So there's more to this than just the talent aspects of it. That's why I say contact, because there's a lot of places that we can place you and teach you if you want to learn. And so I'd say that would be the best thing to do.
I'm wondering too, somebody, and for some reason, American Idol just popped into my head, because we all remember American Idol, when somebody goes in there and everyone's, you know, you've got a great singing voice, you're this, you're that. They get in front of Simon and all of a sudden it's like, not so much.
Right.
Is there a way, if somebody isn't sure, because I think honest critique is very helpful in this business.
Yes.
Because you don't really want to invest a lot of time and money if you don't necessarily, number one, have the motivations or have the chops.
I had a young lady that had come in to see me. Her mother brought her in, and her goal was to get her a voiceover reel, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, and get her into radio. She's only 13 years old, I think it was, and at the time. And I had to let her go. Mm-hmm. I asked the girl after a bit, I says, do you want to do this? And she looked at me and she says, no. And I says, okay, so why are you here? And she says, I don't know.
And that's the time you want to find out.
Yeah, you want to find out early on, you know. So it was okay, well then, you know, is there something else you'd rather do? And she says, I want to play the cello.
Yeah.
Well, then play the cello.
Yeah,
You know, there's no reason to be here if this is so not what you want to do.
Mom thought she was an aspiring actress, or
She's got a good voice. I played a little bit into that. To be honest with you, as I played a little bit into that, I think she'd be a good voice. Turned to find out that she was very afraid of the microphone. She'd get in front of the microphone and she clammed up.
And that's interesting. That sometimes it's hard to sort of work that out of people. There just is that fear. It's the same thing with the red light camera. I always think of that Brady Bunch episode when Cindy was on the game show and the red light came on and she just was there silent for the whole episode. And there are a lot of people. I do podcasting and other media and things like that. And there are some people that are just they're never comfortable in front of the mic, no matter what you do.
And it's funny. The same thing happens in front of the camera. You know, as soon as the camera is on, so all of a sudden they take on this other persona and you. Oh, who are you? Why are you playing that? You know, that way, you know, and so it is the same thing. And until you actually get there and take a class or two and feel what it is actors actually have to feel, or somebody behind a microphone actually has to deal with, until you actually do it yourself, will you actually, you know, hey, do I want to do this? Is this that easy or?
And it's not. It's not easy.
It's not. It's not easy.
Quick story. I my wife always said that I never worked really hard, and she thought my job was really easy. So I brought her into the studio one time, and I said, "Okay, this is what I do. I put the headphones on, turn on the microphone, and as soon as she's like, I can hear the headphones. I said, "Okay, I'm going to turn the mic on." As soon as she heard that first utter of her own voice through the microphone, she didn't make a peep after that. Immediately took the headphones off. I don't want to do this. I'm like. Thought you said my job was easy.
A lot of people hearing their own voice, recorded voice, is a weird experience for
live.
People.
It was at live on the mic. Yeah. She did not like it at all. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to find that out early.
But
if you have an inkling of getting involved in it, call Rick Lord.
You could be that.
Absolutely.
In a world. You could be that guy.
Probably not going to get a whole lot of work, but you could be in that world.
I want to be one of the TV announcer guys that does the promos for those, you know, those dark series.
Oh yeah, it's the
evil coming soon. You know, just those quick ones, that's all.
Or you could be press one for
exactly.
The billing department.
That's probably more like it, you know. So
but even that, and again, you want to have a love for that, because after you want to have a love for the voice, for the artistry of it, and for working with your voice, because that could definitely become very mundane very quick. Press one for billing, press two for communications, press three to speak to an attendant. You're doing that over and over and over again. Could get a little tedious.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we have less than a minute. Rick Lord, tell us your companies, how to get a hold of you, and where people can get started.
Matchlight Films. You can email me at rick@matchlightfilms.com. It's real simple, rick@matchlightfilms.com. Or give me a call, 503-422-5339.
Yeah, and if you have any questions too, you can always email me. My email is dqontheair@gmail.com, and I can get everybody connected if you're interested.
That's right, or Facebook, maybe?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook as well. It's Rick Lord, Matchlight Films. We even have voice artists.
It's a Mid-Valley voice artist has a Facebook page. You can reach out and communicate through that as well.
I don't know the name of my own company.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Even though it's inside baseball for me, I learned a lot from you. All right. We'll be back tomorrow on Newsmakers. Have a good day.
This has been Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.